Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. AJ here, living the good life, broadcasting coast to coast. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. More holidays ahead, thank goodness. Anyhow, we got a great segment coming your way here from Paxton Quigley over there on the East Coast. Cannabis Healing. How you doing, Paxton?
Well, hello, Adam, and I'm doing well. And also, hello to all of our Cannabis Healing listeners. In 2013, Uruguay, that's in South America, became the first country in the world to fully legalize all forms of marijuana. Now, Uruguay is a small country. It has a population of just 3.5 million people. But I think it could serve as an example of how to reasonably legalize a plant that seemingly harms no one. Now, here's some figures. There's been no increase in addiction issues or other adverse side effects since Uruguay had legalization. It's quite amazing. But because of a complication having to do with Uruguay's banks and their relationships with their U.S. subsidiaries, believe it or not, there's only 17 pharmacies that can sell cannabis. And 14 out of the 17 are in the capital. Now, interestingly enough, they do have a provision. There are private cooperatives that people can join and get cannabis. But unfortunately, the black market still exists. Now, one real big figure that I wanted to throw out, drug-related crime in Uruguay has gone down 20% since legalization in 2013. That's amazing. So this brings us to our own country with the thought of legalization in some people's heads. So I've invited on our guest today to talk about how cannabis reform fared in the 2018 midterm elections. And I'm honored to introduce David Holland. He's attorney at law. He's executive director of New York State's National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws. And he's former general counsel to High Times Magazine. Welcome, David, to Cannabis Healing with Paxton Quigley. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for this opportunity to get a chance to meet with you and discuss all the exciting stuff that's just happened recently.
Well, thank you. So let's start with the good news first.
There's lots of good news, depending on where you want to start. But marijuana, we have three more states have come on board for adult use, which is just showing that the general acceptance and the attitudes have changed. We now have 33 states that have some form of legalization out there in the United States, which means you're almost past the point of two-thirds of the United States in the Union now approve of it, which is a big change from where we started way back when the reform movement started in the 70s.
Now, I should ask you, is there any bad news?
Well,
is it all looking really good?
I think that on the relative scale, it's looking outstanding, that this is a green revolution, if you will, that is unlikely to be turned back no matter what the political winds that blow these days.
Well, what about Pete Sessions and Jeff Sessions? They're not brothers, but they've been involved in the past in trying to, shall we say, squelch marijuana legislation?
That's absolutely true. I would say that many would consider them be brothers of another mother, if you will, because they were both outspoken in their criticism of advocates and marijuana and cannabis as a form of medical or recreational use, as they call it. And the removal of both of those figures, one through the election process and one involuntarily, has removed a number of the obstacles that we have to legitimate conversations that both the states and the Congress need to be having about cannabis as the future moves forward.
So now that this is happening, what do you think would be the next steps?
I think that there are a number of different proposals that have been floating around on the national level to really return cannabis to being a states' rights issue and to restore the powers entrusted to the states under the 10th Amendment so that the states can figure out what they want to do with regard to it either being medically acceptable substance or something that might have greater application in the responsible use environment. And that's a big step that was unheard of when I joined in this movement back, about 15 years ago.
Now, are there some elected officials who you think could maybe possible in terms of getting more reasonable cannabis reform and drug policy reform in general?
Well, I think that we've seen through these midterm elections, we've seen at every level in the grassroots as well as at the state level in governorships and the House of Representatives as well as Senate, we're seeing a number of people that have principled stances on cannabis that I think it makes it an inevitability. It's not a question of if, it's just a question of when at this point that we might make it to a national legalization, much like we're seeing with Uruguay, like you started with.
Can you, prophesize it'll be 5 years, 10 years?
Oh, I think it's sooner than that. I think
really?
That, yeah, I do. I don't necessarily speak for the majority in this regard, but I think we're looking at about 3 years. And the reason being is the viability of cannabis, not only as a medical substance or recreational use. I think you've seen what's happened. The Supreme Court of Mexico has just overruled their regulations with regard to cannabis. Canada has just legalized. Uruguay has come forward with a national policy. The world environment is changing, and one of the things that has sort of handcuffed a number of people in their considered opinions as politicians is the United States is part of several worldwide treaties, and some of those call for fights against narco-tourism, and marijuana fell under the umbrella of narco-transactions, which has made it very difficult to embrace a federal policy. But now things have really changed, both on our state and national level, and on the world scene as well. So recently, the Trump administration asked for advocates and citizens to put in their opinions with regard to possibly altering those treaties that we've belonged to be able to create a national policy. And that's a tremendous step that would not have existed years ago. So that means the harbinger of what is to come, which is going to be some policy on some level that will be spread amongst the states, either restoring the states their rights to determine whether they want to have it at all or not, or allowing it on a federal level that every citizen's entitled to it to some degree. That's what
now,
I think is going to happen in 3 years.
Now, what about the banks, though? At this point, all of the people who, have dispensaries, they're just loaded with cash because most of them, can't put it in any kind of bank. What will happen with the banking system?
Well, I think that's one of the key things to work on, and people like Cory Booker and Kristen Gillibrand and others have been speaking about the problems that exist because there isn't a uniform banking scheme out there. Under the Cole Memorandum that many people heard of, there was guidance given down under, he was a deputy attorney general under Holder, and he gave some guidance to banks saying you can feel comfortable accepting deposits from dispensaries subject to these following guidelines, that you check and make sure they're not money laundering and so forth. But that was guidance. It wasn't policy, and so it's caused some of the big banks to still be hesitant, but it's created a lot of opportunity for the smaller, regional banks. And they are engaging in this practice of handling deposits for many dispensaries, but it's still a heavily cash-laden business, and that needs to change. And with that, the Internal Revenue Schedule with 280E, which is to allow business deductions to be taken like they would in any other type of business setting, to be offset as part of business income. And that's been a problem. But there are people out there that are looking at addressing this issue because it's too far down the line to go back to the prohibition days. So I think that we're in the permission days are lay immediately ahead, and with that will come the policies that you're asking about for banking and for other types of regulation.
Well, that sounds really promising. Can you tell me about any national or state upcoming events that NORML is going to have in the next couple of months that people should know about?
Oh, sure. Well, both on the state and national level, several things are going on, and the best thing to do is really start at normal.org. That's the website for the national organization where you can find out about what each state is doing. In New York State, we've been having a number of meet and greets with new members that are joining us, as well as we have lobbying days where we go up to the state legislature and end up trying to meet with them and give our opinions and offer our views on things. In December, there will be down in Key West, it's the legal conference for an advocates conference for a national organization. And there are just a variety of events coming up, so I would take far more time than you have to explain to you each and everything going on, but I highly recommend people go to the national website and then pick the state that they live in. It will identify all the upcoming events.
Oh, well, this sounds good because I will be in the Miami area in December and I can go down to Key West.
Well,
I'll have to find out where it is and all that in Key West.
You will not be disappointed. It's a great group of advocates, and these are the people like Keith Straub and others that have been there since the beginning of the movement. And I've had the great pleasure of not only working with Keith as the state representative to the National Organization for Reform Marijuana Laws, but I also worked with Michael Kennedy, who was counsel to the founder of High Times Magazine, Tom Forsad, and those two are the beginning of the cannabis movement, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, well, I've had Keith on, and I know Michael Kennedy for many years too. You know, I wish I could talk to you longer, David. We just have a limited amount of time. I hope to have you on again when there's more legislation that's coming our way, and I just want to say thank you for all the work you're doing, and thank you to Normal also.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I think you've got a great program, and I look forward to helping in any way I can with any questions you have in the future.
Well, thank you very much. So thanks for being on the show again. Folks, our guest next week is a very interesting guest, a woman named Amy Pova. She is one of the leaders of the Can Do Foundation. That's a national organization that represents incarcerated women, including those that were charged with having marijuana. And currently, there are 22 women in this category. And the organization advocates clemency for all nonviolent drug offenders. So I think this is going to be very, very important. Meanwhile, stay in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook by going to Cannabis Healing with Pax. Until next week, stay healthy and balanced. I'm Paxton Quigley.